May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, the Lord's so amazing. And often we try to reduce him to our size so that we can understand conversations with him. Because when he speaks to us as God, sometimes it doesn't make sense. We want to bend him towards being more like us. I was just reminded of a conversation I had with the Lord once and said, Lord, I just don't know if I really have the right to say these things in light of the fact of having messed up so many times. And the Lord spoke and he said to me, it's because you've messed up so many times that you can understand where they're at. And I said, but wouldn't it have been better, though, if I had not ever messed up and spoken that way? And he said, don't ask me irrelevant questions. We try to force the Lord to have irrelevant questions with us, don't we? And he won't. It's like the time he told me, and I was wanting to talk to him about my sin for the millionth time. Not that I'd done it again, done the sin again, or whatever it was, and just wanted to talk to him about how disqualified I felt. And he just said, I refuse to talk to you about things I can't remember. This is from, we could just stop there and repent of some of the conversations we've tried to force the Lord to have with us, right? I love it. I don't want to talk to you about irrelevant things from his perspective. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance, but not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, the word literally means to stand away from yourself. Some translation, if we act crazy. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we don't recognize anyone according to the flesh, even though we used to recognize Jesus that way. Yet we now know him thus no longer, because if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And grammatically, he would say, and therefore you don't see anything the same the way you used to. We've been talking about living from Christ instead of trying to live for Christ. There's a huge difference. Out of sincerity and passion and energy and effort, you can live for Christ and you'll end up being exhausted every single time. But to live from Christ is totally different because you have the liberty, you have the fascination of seeing what's to come. And I don't mean by that necessarily you know everything's going to happen, but you, whatever's going to happen, you see it from his perspective as an opportunity. You see it through the eyes of his resources, his ability, his adequacy. You see it through the eyes of his faith, his wisdom, whatever, his fearlessness, his lack of anxiety. And so therefore you get to move forward with the mind of Christ and therefore the emotions of Christ and exhibit the behavior of Christ in the situation. One of the things that we've talked about a lot is that we live by the faith of the Son of God. And then we've talked about we live by his wisdom. We live by his hope. He's the God of hope. And I can find myself in situations that feel so hopeless and that I'm reminded of who I'm in union with and living from him, I can hear him say, oh, I've got hope for this. And if he's got hope for this, I can move forward. See, I can rest in that. Rest doesn't mean I just stop and don't do anything. I can actually move forward at peace. Because he's got peace about it. That's rest. But it's also true about love. To love from him. Instead of trying to live love for him. Or love on his behalf. Because if you try to love on his behalf, you'll discover that your best effort to do the Christian thing will hit a wall. Because you're going to find some people sometimes that are just different from your own personality. And you'll end up struggling. You may have been a Christian long enough where you've learned to fake it on the outside, but it's what on the inside that counts to God. Remember Romans 6. This is sort of a go-to verse for me, foundationally. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living, that's the grammar now, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. And the wonders of the Christian life, the amazing miracle of salvation, is that I get to participate in his life. It's salvation is my inclusion in the life that he lives and the life that he lives before the Father and the Holy Spirit. I get to participate in that relationship. And so when he says here, for the love of Christ controls me, that's from the inside out. That's not, oh, he loves me so much, it just makes me want to do things for him. It's loving from the inside out. It's as a new creation, which is totally different. It says, what are the things that I pray? That, oh, Lord, I want to live from the inside out. I want to live from Christ. I want to love people from the inside out. I want to love them from you. That's a totally different ball of wax. It's totally different rules and requirements. There are just no boundaries. There's no safety nets. We like safety nets, don't we? But there are none. Now, I want you to notice something that really I think is really cool. In verse 13, he says, if we act like crazy people, it is for God. If we're beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Okay, what did he just say? If I'm beside myself and my love for God is because the love of Christ is controlling me, I'm participating in his relationship with the Father. And therefore, I'm as nutty in love with God as he is. I'm loving God from the inside out. The life that he's living to God, even so, consider yourself dead to sin, but living to God in Christ. I get to participate in the life he's living before God. So what do? You surrender to that. It's a faith thing. We make it so difficult. Like you have to jump through hoops. He jumped through the hoop. It's called the cross. We get to enjoy the reality of it all. What does it cost me? It costs you everything, but my Lord is like pedaling a tricycle down an interstate, and then somebody comes along and offers you a ride in a limousine, and you go, gosh, I have to give up the tricycle and get in the back seat of the limousine. I hate to give it all up. Of course, it also talks about the love of Christ controlling me so that I don't see people the same anymore. I don't discern people according to the flesh anymore. It's not an issue of, well, this is the kind of people I like to spend time with. Or, you know, these are, I heard somebody say recently that God wants us to love people. We don't have to like him. Really? Really? I guess that's the way Jesus is, right? It makes me feel kind of bad. He loves me, but he doesn't like me very much. That's just nonsense. You with me? The Lord put special relationships together. That's just something God does. It's part of just community and what he does. But it doesn't mean I have the right to pick and choose who I like and love if I'm living and loving from Christ. The love of Christ is controlling me. And so I don't see people the same. I'm a new creation. The old way of doing things passed, behold, new things have come because I'm in Christ. But I love the fact that if you want somebody, if you say to somebody, I see somebody, they go, well, you know, I love him. I just want to love him more. Then my whole issue is then understand that you've been included in the life that Jesus lived and you will love him. You'll be beside yourself in how much you love him. So Paul said, the love of Christ so controlled him, he was beside himself for God. And also, he was controlled by the love of Christ for others. The people that I've known who are the most beside themselves people for God are the people who've understood the wonders of getting off the tricycle and getting in the limousine in Christ. And getting in the amazing ride of enjoying how much Jesus loves in this amazing fellowship of the burning heart and the Godhead. And then allowing him to love from the inside out. Do we blow it? Do we mess up? Yes, we do. Because we decide we want to be selfish, and that's a sin, right? But at least we know what to repent to. We blew it and try harder next time. You're just going to fail again. Being controlled, being compelled. The word, we have a t-shirt made. I think Gail had the t-shirt made called Taken, and we had a new one. I think we used that's a new one. And the word controlled here literally means taken. It's the Greek word taken. Paul said, I've been taken. I've been abducted by the love of Christ. And it makes me beside myself for God. and to see every human being through the eyes of Christ. That's living from Christ instead of trying to live for Him. It's the difference between doing your best for God or living a life that's supernatural. Christianity is supernatural. There can be only one explanation for it. That's Jesus Himself. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.